And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because the guy, like he was saying, all he ever knew was killing and people getting killed.
Yeah.
And that's not... I mean, whatever you want to say about civilized, pansy-ass, fairy... Excuse me. colorful language. Whatever you think about the modern... Everybody loves Raymond, happy-go-lucky kind of guy. Guys like that just... Trouble just tends to follow them, whether they mean it to or not.
Indeed.
And you can't have those kind of guys in a civilized society.
There's no place for men like that at the turn. That's what...
That's why they have to go up to Alaska.
Yeah, and then you have the death hunt with Lee Marvin and Charles Bronson.
Oh, is that kind of like Surviving the Game?
Vaguely, yes.
Did you ever podcast Surviving the Game?
No, we haven't gotten to that yet.
You need to podcast that one with Seth.
I think so. I think I'll try to one of these days. But you're right. It's definitely about that old West frontier outlaw hero character that is different, I think. I've gotten into this with Zach a million times because he gets all on my case about how, like, you can't immediately look on Google and find a definition for an outlaw hero. It's just compared to an anti-hero. It's the same thing. But
give me a name. Who do you consider an outlaw hero?
Tom Horn's an outlaw hero in this film because he's a good guy. He knows the difference between right and wrong. And he's doing things sort of on his own terms, but he's been given the freedom to do that. And in the world that exists, that freedom is required, and those actions are acceptable. But they're not to society.
Vigilante actions were acceptable. There was a huge vigilante group in San Francisco previous to that. Yeah. And they ran San Francisco for a long time because it got so corrupted.
Yeah, you're talking
and
about
people,
something pretty creepy.
I did.
Well, no.
Oh, well, it's really fascinating. I watched a couple of programs on the History Channel about vigilantism.
Yeah.
And there were some huge, like, political groups that got tired of corruption and violence and whatever, and they went in and they cleaned things up. And the problem is, eventually, any group...
It's fascism.
Well, it can tend to get corrupted itself, and then you have... vying political factions, and
yeah,
I mean it becomes a problem. And I think in that case, when things they did just finally disband, but
for my money, I mean, an anti-hero is not the same as now. An anti-hero is a bad guy that does something that makes him sort of sympathetic at the end, that curries favor with the society at the last minute, or that makes him, in the convolution of the story where everything's a gray murkiness, it makes him seem like he's the one the audience will root for. Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven is an anti-hero. He is not an outlaw hero, because as they repeatedly say, he is a former killer of women and children. They never show you any of that, so that way Gene Hackman gets to seem like the bad guy.
That ever walked or crawled.
Yeah, but and Clint Eastwood gets to seem like just some kind of a pacified whatever, but
that
anti-hero.
That was a great movie. I remember the first time I watched it, I was probably 11, and I was a fan of your more traditional Western.
Yeah.
And I just didn't get it, and I thought it was boring, and I didn't like it, and so I didn't watch it again until about a year ago. And I bought it, and I loved it. It's Outlaw Josie Wales is still my favorite Clint Eastwood Western, but it's my second favorite now. Well, it'd be tied with The Good, Bad, and Ugly. But, again, another anti-hero.
Well, I don't know so much in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
He's an anti-hero. Or are you going to call him an outlaw hero?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it.
What the fuck
is
an outlaw hero?
That's what I'm saying. An outlaw hero is the good guy that society, like in all of its corruption and restrictions, the Billy Green Bush Marshals that are the society, you know, lawful heroes.
Oh, so it's just the reflection...
Yeah.
It's okay.
But it's not an anti-hero either. It's not a killer of women and children.
An anti-hero is a bad guy doing good, and an outlaw hero is a supposedly a characterized good guy doing bad.
No, the good guy just does.
I don't give a shit now.
Okay, it's not that hard, but I've written about it before. It's
not that hard, then it's basically just easy to explain.
The if the society is corrupted, then as is the case, as it's presented just about every movie,
So if you have a corrupt society, like, let's just give me an example. Say in Batman, who is the outlaw hero?
Well, Batman's the outlaw hero, Batman.
What makes him an outlaw hero?
He's breaking the laws.
Okay.
But the laws are also set up to protect the
so corrupted vigilante. Society. A vigilante.
Yeah, pretty much.
But a vigilante on the side of right.
Vigilante on the side of right, and not a criminal that's just breaking the laws for his own good and to do it. You know, Batman doesn't want to be Batman. He doesn't profit from being Batman.
Batman just is Batman.
The Batman abides. And Tom Hornets, all he knows is this sort of like.
But he's
judicious about it, and he knows right from wrong, and he's not just trying to profit from things. He's not a profiteer.
I mean, we're talking about the guy that brought down Geronimo.
Mm-hmm.
They got charged for invading Mexico.
Yeah.
Up the, you know, along with like Aunt Old Hickory and Aaron Burr and shit.
Yeah.
Or
that wouldn't have been the right time.
Patton, I think Patton invaded Mexico.
Yeah, Patton was there too.
He strapped a couple of Pancho Villa's guys to his. What do you have? Did he have a horse or a truck? Or strapped him to something. In fact, he actually his Colt, that pistol I showed you the other day. That Colt single action army,
mm-hmm.
Patton carried one of those, his ivory handled pistols. Those were Colt single action armies that he bought when he was in the cavalry at that time.
Well, this and is 19, like 1910 or something like that, right?
It was just prior to World War One.
Yeah, prior to World War One, so like 1913 or something like that.
Yeah, and it was in the day because I remember. Reading about it, they had a lot of trucks when they went down, when Pershing and them went down to Mexico. But I was just pointing out, he actually had notches cut in the grips of that Colt Single Action Army 45. But getting back to Batman, okay, so Batman is the outlaw hero. I got it.
But do you get the difference between the outlaw and the anti-hero?
We haven't specifically. In Batman, who's the anti-hero?
Well, there is no anti-hero in Batman. But there are movies that are about anti-heroes versus movies that are about outlaw heroes.
And Tom Horn's a...
Tom Horn's an outlaw hero. It's not so much
that he's breaking the law.
Yeah, it isn't. But according to the law, and according to this new society where things are by the law, where you're innocent until proven guilty, where the guy that tried to shoot you in the street, you don't go up and shoot him in the head a second time.
Wyoming and Montana were states yet.
Exactly. But they were bringing civility to it. And with the civility comes bureaucracy. With the bureaucracy
comes
corruption. And with all that, it's all in the guise of lawfulness, which is a collection of, I mean, you know, it's a collection of things that usually screw the good guy in the end.
Well, civilization's really necessary for business.
Yeah.
And...
But you can still be a good person and make things work. I mean, it's an ideology. Of course it's an ideology. And to say that everything in society is this corrupt kind of gray area is, I think, also a little too cynical.
It's more simply that humans are... When you get down to where the cheese binds, most people aren't that hard to corrupt.
Yeah.
And if they see, you know, like that $5,000, and mm-hmm. A lot of people wouldn't have the restraint to do the right thing, and then it becomes a question of what is the right thing to do.
PPP.
Proper police procedure.
There you go.
Which a lot of people would disagree with
mm-hmm.
as being what's right, which... it makes it all very interesting, which is why we have the legal system that we have.
Exactly. See, the ideology of the proper system is fine. It's almost like the irony of it all is that the outlaw is usually the one, like in Electric Glide, who does everything by the book. Because the system and the society, it's just a term that's used to define that which is outside of the traditional accepted sort of approach, which is not PPP, is it? Is it not the, hey man, I'm a cop, you're a cop, don't give me a ticket even though I was going 30 over. Oh, you do? Oh, well then fuck you then. I'm gonna have every plate in Arizona.
Usually that's a bad idea from what I've been...
Exactly, because of the corruption that's within the law.
Well, no, it's just simply...
It's the good old boyism, that's what I'm saying, that kind
of
shit.
Absolutely,
and that's under the guise of the law.
That's the grease that keeps...
Yeah.
And that's not always such a bad thing.
Well, too much grease is a bad thing, and that's why you need the outlaw hero.
Too much conflict, and nothing gets done.
Sure. Sure, if it's then don't create the conflict. Then don't be a prick and speak.
People disagree.
Yeah.
But who set that limit, and why?
Well, the limit was set, and everybody's decided that they should agree on it.
Nixon set the national speed limit at 55.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to let that speak for itself.
Well, you know, things change, but...
Politicians, laws in general, are generally bullshit.
I know, most of them are.
And, I mean...
That's why being an outlaw hero is usually the good approach, because it's using common sense and whatnot.
Common sense, absolutely. Hallelujah. Let's move on.
Okay, there you go.
We've been talking about the fucking anti-hero and outlaw hero now for, what, 20 minutes?
For a bit.
And I'm still... Now, I got it. We're rocking and rolling now.